Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to our 81st externalization of the hierarchy commentary. What I notice is that somehow the colors did not get saved on 80, but they will appear in your video. And I just use them to mark and emphasize certain sections, so it's no big deal. But you will see them, but not on the text itself. Basically, DK is talking here about the fact that really excuses were made for the war, but money was behind the whole thing, and the excuses were about saving the world for democracy and fighting the war to end wars, to end war. But the main motive was self-protection, probably of the, in the beginning of the Tsarist regime, and later of the Russian regime. Self-preservation, really, of the countries in Europe who fought against the Axis. The hope of gain, which was certainly a Nazi motivation, and a Chinese, rather a Japanese motivation, and the satisfaction of ancient hatreds, as I may have mentioned, the Armenian massacre, the Armenian genocide that Turkey visited upon that small nation, which was distinguished from it by being Christian, with the Turks being Muslims. So once again, the old battle between the Muslims and the Christians. The United Nations is occupied now with rapacious measures from all sides, and the angling, the manipulation, the jockeying for power and position, the angling for the for place and power, for the possession of the natural resources of the earth, coal, oil, etc., and also with the underground activities of the great powers, you know, as they seek to destabilize the regimes that with which they are not in agreement. And the United States has been very active in that, and so was the Soviet Union. So the underground activities, nobody, well, you could detect them, but it wasn't as well known to the nationals who sponsored these things as it should have been. And also underground activities of the capitalists. So all in all, 2 years after the war, not a very pretty picture. And we're just, what we're doing here is looking at a segue. As I said, if this particular document falls into your hands in a typed form, there will be places where there are color distinctions in the video, but where they have failed to appear. I was interrupted by the in the preparation yesterday, and when that happens, sometimes the proper saving does not happen. But anyway, it shouldn't amount to much. And yet, DK contrasts all this with what should be the case, and the deplorable condition that prevails, rather than the possible improvement. He says, yet all the time, the one humanity, no matter what the place of residence, what the color of the skin, or what the religious beliefs, because, you know, look at the skin color issue and look at the causal body, and you're not going to find that it's an internal issue at all. I mean, what is to be considered when evaluating all people is the amount of incarnational experience that they have had, and that will make a difference, but no real difference in the way the causal body develops, or at least not as far as I know. Maybe the masters know something about it, but the causal body is the egoic lotus, is the main factor upon which to concentrate. That will reveal the condition of the outer man, the personality. So all that while, the one humanity is clamoring for peace, justice, and a sense of security. And all this, the right use of money and a realization on the part of many of their financial responsibility, a responsibility based on the spiritual values, would rapidly give them. With the exception of a few great far-sighted philanthropists and a mere handful of enlightened statesmen, churchmen, and educators, this sense of financial responsibility is nowhere to be found. So, again, an indictment following the war, which should have accomplished in man the establishment of certain realizations, and did not sufficiently do so, and we're still living with the results of that failure to really reestablish, or maybe establish even for the first time, a real sense of fairness in the sharing of world resources, a sense of the idea that we all will get along better in a peaceful situation, and will all prosper more in a situation of world peace, because the war again went underground and still rages, at least in flashpoints and psychologically. And of course, the house cleaning. Those are the three factors that I keep repeating, and DK repeats them because they determine the time when the Christ can reappear, when he will choose to reappear. DK goes on, the time has now come when money must be revalued and its usefulness channeled in new directions. The voice of the people must prevail, but it must be a people educated in the true values, in the significances of right culture, and in the need for right human relations. Well, yes, if you give the money over to the uneducated masses, it will not be well used. So the use has to be guided by those who have the welfare of the masses at heart, but are more educated, and then steps must be taken to educate the masses of people so that they will elect to office those who can truly represent them in a positive and intelligent manner. So it is therefore essentially a question of right education, and correct training in world citizenship. Now, this really isn't even happening yet, a thing which has not yet been undertaken, he says back in 47. Who can give this training? So, everyone's going to volunteer concerning it, but the question is, are they fit to do so? Who can give this training? Russia would gladly train the world in the ideals, and they do exist, of communism, and would gather all the money in the world into the coffers of the proletariat, eventually producing the greatest capitalistic system the world has ever seen. Well, that is not a pleasant thought. But that was how he saw it at that time. And of course, Russia has released its pursuit of the most extreme types of communism there have been, or totalitarianism. There have been reforms, and I think we can say that Gorbachev and others, although not maybe as popular in Russia as we think of, as we think they are, from the Western perspective, they did a great deal of good, so it seems. Great Britain would gladly train the world in the British concepts of justice and fair play. This is, you know, the Libra part of London, we might say, and world trade, you know, Gemini, Taurus, go everywhere, exchange goods, and would do it more cleverly than any other nation because of vast experience. All right, that's what Great Britain would do, or the United Kingdom, maybe as it could be called and is called occasionally. The United States would also gladly undertake to force the American brand of democracy, as there must be others, upon the world, using her vast capital and resources in so doing and gathering into her banks the financial result of her widespread financial dealings, preserving them safely from the by the threat of the atomic bomb and the shaking of the mailed fist over, you know, the fist appearing in the armor of chainmail over the rest of the world. Yeah, that would be the idealism of the United States, and that attempt to force democracy upon the world we have witnessed, and we have witnessed it occurring in relation to the Middle East, the Iraq war, the Afghanistanian war, you know, the whole idea that American democracy could be imposed upon basically tribal societies. So, you know, that's doomed to failure. Although democracy is desirable, but in different modes than the strictly American democracy, such as we find in Europe, for instance. France will keep Europe in a state of unrest as she seeks to regain her lost prestige. You know, she has Leo on the ruling the sun sign, as it were, the personality, and garner all she can from the victory of the other allied nations. She herself did not have that victory, but would take advantage of it. At least this is the perspective that he had at that time, some 73 years ago. It's, you know, it's the result of the third-rate personality of France, Leo and the third-rate, pride and manipulation. Quite different from the astute intellect and the great sensitivity of Pisces, fifth ray, in the soul nature. Thus, my brother, the story goes, each nation fighting for itself and raiding each other in terms of resources and finances. I mean, that's how Hitler did it. He looked at nations in terms of their resources and whether Germany, which was somewhat devoid of sufficient resources, could simply take over the resources of others. Thus, my brother, the story goes, each nation fighting for itself and rating each other in terms of resources and finance. In the meantime, humanity starves, remains uneducated, is brought up on false values, and the wrong use of money. Until these things are being righted, the return of the Christ is not possible. So at least we have to start the corrective process. Has it really started? Well, probably there are evidences of it having started. But we're still a long way from sharing moving into its proper place. We're a very long way from that salubrious state that Moria predicts, when people or nations will vie with each other to see who can do the most good. The will to good then will be triumphing through good will. It's a very different thing. And is there peace? No, there is no peace. The wars continue, minor wars relatively, but capable of flashing into conflagrations that involve many more. In the face of this, he goes on, in the face of this disturbing financial condition, what is the answer to the problem? There are men and women to be found in every land, every government, every church and religion, and every educational foundation who have the answer. What hope is there for them and for the work with which they have been entrusted? How can the people of the world, the men of goodwill and of spiritual vision, help? Is there anything they can do to change the thinking of the world in regard to money and to deflect it into channels where it will be rightly used? And the answer lies within these people themselves. Now, it's going to take a lot of courage and sacrifice for them to actually enact what they know. There are many, we could be speaking of the new group of world servers, and there are so many that are against their ideas and ideals without knowing there is such a group as the new group of world servers. The trouble is, the servers are progressive, and people want to hold on to privilege out of fear and greed. There are two groups who can do much. Those already using the financial resources of the world, if they will catch the new vision and also see the handwriting on the wall, which is bringing the old order down in destruction. And secondly, the mass of good, kindly people of all classes and spheres of influence. So here are the good, kindly people. We'll make them a little bigger to stand out. And those already using the financial resources of the world, and some of those have strongly philanthropic orientation. And the children of those who amass the money and the resources often turn towards a better way. It is possible. It has to be possible, because as DK says, the handwriting is on the wall. You know, the moving finger gives the message: you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. So something can be done. And I'll try to Well, it's hard to know what color to use, you know. Maybe there's no way to use an appropriate color for everything. The power of the little man and of the unimportant citizen is not yet truly grasped. Yet there is a vast opportunity before them if they have the courage and patience to do the needed work. This is to inspire the men and the women of goodwill, whose power is much more than is suspected. These men and women of goodwill and spiritual inclination must reject the thought of their relative uselessness, insignificance, and futility, and realize that now, in the critical and crucial moment that has come, they can work potently. Well, it's still the case. Although we have new tools at our disposal in the mass communication system, still the other side has those tools as well. Yeah. So anyway, it's a question of encouragement often. And who can give the encouragement? Those who have the vision. And who has the vision? Supposedly those who have enough experience and motivation and acumen to be members of the new group of world servers, pointing humanity via the Ajna Center in the right direction, and the heart, of course. The forces of evil are defeated, though not yet sealed, behind the door where humanity can put them, and which the New Testament foretold would happen. You know, maybe that's that bit about Satan being bound for 1,000 years, or the predations of the personality when unguided by the soul. The world is in the balance again. Evil is seeking every avenue available for a new approach, but, and this I say with confidence and insistence, the little people of the world, enlightened and selfless in their viewpoint, exist in sufficient numbers to make their power felt if they will. So this is the war against the thought form of futility, which, if indulged, does make it possible for evil to prevail. But that war can be won. And we have to have the confidence again, confidence in the inner God, that the war can be won. There are millions of spiritually minded men and women in every country who, when they come to the point of approaching in mass formation the question of money, can permanently rechannel it. Well, I think, you know, part of that is going on right now in parallel types of revolutions, social justice, finance, health, all working together to redirect the money in an amidst unfair distribution. There are writers and thinkers in all the lands who can add their powerful help and who will, if correctly approached. There are esoteric students and devoted church people to whom appeal can be made for aid in preparing the way for the return of the Christ, particularly if the aid required is the expenditure of money and time for the establishing of right human relations and the growth of goodwill. Well, all of this was foreseen, and in many respects, some of it has been carried out. So many good things have indeed happened in these 73 years. But there is a recrudescence of the old reactivity or reactionary approach on the eve of the reappearance, or at least on the eve of the great conclave, when at least the masters, in their mode of preparing for the reappearance, will be newly energized and will come forth. A great campaign to raise money is not demanded, but the selfless work of thousands of apparently unimportant people is required. And DK then is saying, look, these apparently unimportant people are important in this process. I would say, my brothers, that the most needed quality is courage. And this is one of those great paragraphs here, a collection of sentences to inspire us. It takes courage to put aside diffidence, you know, shyness and the dislike of presenting a point of view, particularly a point of view connected with money. It is here that the majority fail. It is relatively easy today to raise money for the Red Cross, behind which DK stands, let us remember, for hospitals and for educational institutions. It is exceedingly difficult to raise money for the spread of goodwill or to secure financial resources and the right use of money for forward-looking ideas, such as the return of the Christ. Therefore, I say that the first prerequisite is courage. And he says it again, and I think we can question ourselves regarding this and see whether we do have the courage to present the point of view. Now, maybe among our own, you know, the people who have studied esotericism and know something about that, a distinct minority, maybe among them we have the courage, but it doesn't take so much courage to face them. It takes courage to face those who know nothing about it, and for whom the reappearance is a fanciful idea. So there is courage. I'm just going to make that really big so we do remember it. And then the next requirement for the workers of the Christ is to make those sacrifices and arrangements which will enable them to give to the limit of their capacity. That's, again, not easy. Okay, so let's put the idea of sacrifice strongly forward. Yeah. This is where the statement, give until it hurts, is so exacting. There must not be simply a trained ability to present the subject, but each worker must practice what he preaches. Well, it's just so obvious, isn't it? If only we could find the courage to practice what we preach. There's the courage of presentation, and there is the courage of practicing what we preach. two kinds of courage. Can't get that E to work. Of presentation and of practice. And this is one press, and I get five E's. Not too good. Now, if, for instance, the millions of people who love the Christ and seek to serve his cause gave at least a tiny sum of money each year, there would be adequate funds for his work. The needed trusts and the spiritually minded trustees would then automatically appear. Gosh, it almost seems too easy. But yet we do not manage to do that. Apparently, there are many more who love the Christ and seek to serve his cause than there are those among them who are willing to give that tiny sum. All right. Yeah. The difficulty is not with the organizing of the money and work. It lies with the seeming inability of people to give. This is a bold statement and a difficult one and a memorable one, isn't it? The difficulty is not with the organizing of the money and the work. It lies with the seeming inability of people to give. For one reason or another, they give little or nothing, even when interested in such a cause as that of the return of the Christ. Fear, or the love of purchasing, or the desire to give presents, or failure to realize that many small sums mount up into very large sums, all these things militate against financial generosity. To those who give all is given. So great teachers like the Christ have given all, and to them all is given. And we don't take the risk to test out that adage. And the reason always seems adequate. The reason which militates against the generosity. Therefore, the second prerequisite for everyone is to give as they can. But really can't. And then, of course, one has to know where to give. There will be those trusts. I'm thinking of the Lucis Trust. And that idea has been, taken up by them. But then again, they have not over the years received what they must to build up the kind of trust fund that DK is calling for here. They have not. So it's the lack of generosity of the people that prevents them from receiving the bounty of the world. I guess every master has somehow tested out the adage, to those who give all is given, even to the point of giving their life. Thirdly, the metaphysical schools and the esoteric groups have given much thought to this business of directing money into channels which appeal to them. The question is often asked, why do the Unity School of Thought, the Christian Science Church, and many New Thought movements always manage to accumulate the required funds, whilst other groups, and particularly the esoteric groups, do not? Not such a pleasant picture. Maddeningly unpleasant, especially since the message that the esoteric groups have is so needed. Why do the truly spiritual workers seem unable to materialize what they need? Now, this one will be part of the other. And that's the question there, right there, the question. And I think, you know, so many of us have seen that it is the case, and there's always a financial struggle, whereas some of the mega churches, materialistically inclined, get what they want. And of course, the people giving expect material results in return. Well, the answer is a simple one. Those groups of workers who are the closest to the spiritual ideal are a house divided against itself. Their main interest is on abstract spiritual levels. They should talk to Gurdjieff, you know. He had that too, but he always knew with a very strong first ray, third ray, how to acquire the resources when they were needed. The answer is a simple one. Those groups and workers who are closest to the spiritual ideal are as a house divided against itself. Their main interest is on abstract spiritual levels, and they have not apparently grasped the fact that the physical plane, when motivated from spiritual levels, is of equal importance. Well, how do we feel about that? Does that apply to us? I know at times it has certainly applied to me. Keen interest in what may be found maybe in Cosmic Fire or some of the abstruse books, but what about helping to turn the physical plane really spiritual? The fact that the physical plane is of equal importance to the abstract, abstruse levels. The large metaphysical schools are focused on making a material demonstration, and so great is their emphasis, and so one-pointed is their approach that they get what they demand. They have to learn that the demand and its answer must be the result of spiritual purpose, and that which is demanded must not be for the use of the separated self or for a separative organization or church. Yeah, well, they have something and the courage to speak of what is needed. I remember a very strong fundraiser saying she just loved to talk about money and to fulfill the need. The need to fulfill the need, that which she would present in a most inspiring way. In the New Age, which is upon us prior to the return of the Christ, the demand for financial support must be for the bringing about of right human relations and goodwill, and not for the growth of any particular organization. The organization so demanding must work with a minimum of overhead and central plant, and the workers for a minimum yet reasonable salary. Not many such organizations exist today. I know that Mary Bailey did her best to ensure that the Lucis Trust was one of them. But the few now functioning can set an example which will be rapidly followed as the desire for the return of the Christ grows. Therefore, the third prerequisite is the service of the one humanity, not the service of any particular separative group, maybe no matter how valuable that group's contribution may be. There's a larger motive here. Okay, so this is the demand, and we'll put that in there in a larger bolding so that it stands out. This is the true story, and shows the adjustments that have to be made in the metaphysical churches and organizations, and the adjustments to be made in the truly esoteric groups. Each has what the other needs. One wants to dwell on this, and of course, these particular paragraphs have been consistently abstracted and utilized in the history of the Lucis Trust and Arcane School, and probably many of us are familiar with them. And the fourth prerequisite must be the careful preservation of the cause for which financial support is required. People may have the courage to speak, but an intelligent presentation is of equal importance. The major point to be emphasized in the preparatory work for the return of the Christ is the establishing of right human relations. This has already been started by men of goodwill all over the world under many names, and here I have naught but indicate, and here I have done naught but indicate another motive for presentation. So, careful presentation of the cause. And not a courageous and forthright but unintelligent blundering into the subject. Intelligence is of equal importance to the courage. Yes. Well, we have a few things here that tell us how we must operate. The major point is the establishing of right human relations. This is the reason why the money is being sought. This is the reason. There is quite a list here of prerequisites. So, let us look at this one. We come now to the fifth prerequisite, a vital and sure belief in humanity as a whole. We can't present the subject if we lack the confident vision of humanity's emerging success. We see that there must be no pessimism as to the future of mankind or distress over the disappearance of the old order. Many people are so distressed. And how can you present a motivating picture if underneath even your hopeful words lies a pessimism which can be detected? The good, the true, and the beautiful is on its way, and for it, mankind is responsible, and not some outer divine intervention. Humanity is sound and rapidly awakening. Of course, this will inspire when the believing, confident individual presents such a picture. We are passing through the stage where everything is being proclaimed from the housetops, as Christ stated would be the case. And as we listen or read of the flood of filth, crime, sensual pleasure, or luxury buying, we are apt to be discouraged. It is wise to remember that it is the wholesome, it is wholesome for all this to come to the surface under Pluto before the reappearance of the Christ, we realize, and for us to know about it. It is like the psychological cleansing of the subconscious to which individuals submit themselves, and it presages the inauguration of a new and better day. Well, it takes courage to face the very objectionable things that are stored within our nature, but there they are. And it's better to be cleansed than to imagine they don't exist and project them onto other people who may not even be as severely afflicted as we are. The good, the true, and the beautiful is on its way, and for it, humanity is responsible. I mean, we have to be, you know, there's something in the presenter which carries the note to which people can and will respond. It's not just the words, is it? There's some quality which is uplifting. So, you know, we've had here maybe just a little recap. So this is the, you know, we've got to make these strong so they stand out. Okay. So the courage is the first. Sacrifice is the second. They go together, don't they? sacrifice of time, money, energy, interests. So giving as one can, that's the sacrifice. Thirdly, down-to-earth attitude. What can we say? Caring, you know, about the physical plane. Caring about that, and not only the lovely, intricate, abstruse matters which can feed mental pride, not only those things. And the fourth, the careful presentation of the cause. Careful presentation. And I'm going to accentuate that, the words careful presentation. And finally, let's make this just a little less bold. Finally, number five, a vital and sure belief in humanity as a whole, and we want to call this maybe confidence. Confidence in humanity. No pessimism. It will be detected, you know. All right, so those are the five that in the presentation of the work will be effective as we try to inspire others to give against this tendency of the seeming inability to give. There is work to do, says the Tibetan. And the men and women of goodwill, of spiritual instinct, we remember that's kind of interesting because, you know, he uses those two terms when dealing with the first initiation. And of truly Christian training must do it. They must inaugurate the era of the use of money for the spiritual hierarchy and carry that need into the realms of invocation. There is work to do. And the little person of goodwill must recognize that he or she is capable of participating in the doing of that work. Invocation is the highest type of prayer there is. And a new form of divine appeal, which a knowledge of meditation has now made possible. To this end, I would give you a short form of spiritual demand, which I would ask you all to use in place of any prayer, meditation, or invocation for money, which you have hitherto used. It is short and possible, and powerful, but requires a unified group and a truly integrated personality to use it. Invocation. Let's see if this has found its way into some of the other books. So here it is. So dot, 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 you know. But I think he for whom the whole world waits has said that whatsoever shall be asked in his name and with faith in the response shall see it accomplished. He says, I ask that the needed vast sums be made available. May this potent energy of thine be in the hands of the forces of light. Maybe it's that one. I'm not sure I've just said it entirely correctly, but those ideas are there. I have naught to add in the way of an appeal for funds, courage, or understanding. If the courage of the Christ as he faces return to the physical outer world, if the need of humanity for right human relations and the sacrificing work of the disciples of the Christ are not enough to fire you and to energize you and those whom you can reach, there is nothing that I can say which will be of any use. Well, he certainly has made an appeal to our conscience in that statement. So those are the things to keep in mind. The courage of the Christ. And he tried to help to put our thought, direct our thought towards the mind of the Christ as he contemplates the extremely difficult task of bringing his intention to fruition over the Aquarian age. Then, of course, human need is constantly referenced, and that need is really for right human relations and the sacrificing work of those who are truly disciples of the Christ, and by that we have to mean also the masters of the wisdom, are not enough to fire you and to energize you. Then he says, well, what then more can be done? So just pause on that for a moment. The courage of the Christ facing the whole world of humanity and the need to regenerate humanity. And the need, unsuspected by so many human beings, of right human relations between themselves, and the many, many sacrifices being made by the masters and initiates of the Christ, and in lesser degree by the disciples and aspirants, but still being made. So he seeks to fire us up, you know, charge us with the will to good as it becomes love in action or goodwill and keeps us working with great persistence. We have maybe another 70-something pages, computer pages, and another 70 pages, roughly, to go before the completion of this book. Now, he has jumped from 1947. Was it June 47? He has jumped to his next communication. he was working with Alice Bailey to complete certain books, you know, seeing that their work together in this phase was coming to an end, the 30 years' work, as it would come to an end in 1949. He was seeing that. He also saw that the success that he had hoped for, even with the new seed group and with the ashramic group, which could no longer meet, I suppose, due to Alice Bailey's condition, had not achieved what he had hoped, but he at least would make sure that certain books were completed, and he concentrated there. He had to basically, I think in 1946, disband the New Sea Group, and he had to help Alice Bailey concentrate on the completion of his books. Who knows what pressure she was under, and her health not being good. And maybe there were, you know, as in the case of Blavatsky, some intended books, some completions which were not brought to fruition. That's quite possible. Someone told me of some Masonic work that Alice Bailey could have completed under his direction, but maybe it was considered at the time secondary, and maybe it will be picked up again. And Blavatsky had other large writings in the channel of those to be written. And she only lived into her early 60s, and Alice Bailey died at the age of 69. So it's just such an arduous task to work for the master, and no excuses, no alibis can suffice or be brought forward to relieve the situation. You know, what really went on between them, that's between them. But we know that it was just ever so demanding. Well, coming up here next, and, you know, my hope is that this time the distinctive colors or the color coding will be preserved. So we're finishing, let's just see here. How far did we go? Page 631. Okay. So from 626 to 631. That's what we've done here. And our day is the 15th of June. And it's going to be approximately 1 hour, maybe, and a few. Now we'll start with program number 82 shortly, hopefully today. I am eager to bring this to an end, though, you know, when you look at 70 pages, it translates as a lot of video programs. So this is the end of 81, and it's approximately 1 hour and a few minutes. I don't know how many yet. And it was from 6:26 to 6:31. And then we'll begin with 82. We don't know how long that will be. And it will be from 6:31, but we're beginning a new section, to however long it is. I have hopes, but I'll just mark those X's just in case and in place, and we'll take up the question of work in the coming decades, which is a projection into the future. Because here it is, 7 decades later, the year 2020 compared to 1948. All right. So lots of love, many blessings. Let's study hard and meditate deeply and offer service in as exacting a manner as we can. It will exact from us so much, but the more that it exacts, and the more we willingly give, the better for those served, and the better for us as servers, increasing our capacity in service. I just want to make sure 6:31, I think is, it's correct. Okay. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.